Okay, I'm going to call the meeting to order. If you wouldn't mind standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, thank you. If my shirt becomes too loud, let me know. This is a Father's Day gift and I was dared to wear it. I know.
We have no microphones tonight, so we're going to have to speak up.
All right. All right, let me read through a few notes. So we have the call to order, Pledge of Allegiance, and the roll call. Matthew Trent is absent, excused. And if staff wouldn't mind introducing themselves.
I'm Steve Mayor, Carr County Comprehensive Planning Department.
And I'm Jason Dugger with the Office of Commissioner Justin Johnson.
The new generation.
And Mike Shannon is excused.
Mike Shannon is excused, and Carmen Hayes is our secretary. All right. So any item on the agenda may be taken out of order. The board may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. The board may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to any item at any time. No action may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. All planning and zoning matters heard at this meeting are forwarded to the Board of County Commissioners Zoning Commission or the Clark County Planning Commission for final action. I please ask you to turn off or mute all cell phones and other electronic devices, and please take all private conversations outside of the room. You're free to talk, but if you could just take it out, we'd appreciate it. Okay, moving on to the public comment section. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on the agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at any time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction, but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. And if applicable, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chair or by the board by majority vote. So at this time, is there a member of the public that would like to address the board? All right, seeing no mad dash to the front of the room, I'll close the public hearing. Asked for a motion for approval of the minutes by July 28, 2026.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
All right, there's a motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, motion passes. All right, and the approval of the agenda for August 11, 2026. Excuse me. Approval for the agenda for August 11, 2026. So with that, I think items 5, 6, and 7 are by the same applicant. I would propose that we hear all three at the same time, but vote individually on each item. Having said that, is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I make a motion to approve the agenda.
All right, thank you, Christine Griselle. Motion has been made. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Do we have any informational items tonight?
Yes, a few construction updates for the team. Spring Mountain between Rainbow and Decatur construction begins in 45 to 60 days. This will be just a repavement, cleaning it up. And if you've ever driven Spring Mountain, it's very bumpy. We're gonna get that fixed. There's also a new crosswalk being added on Spring Mountain and Jones, at which the construction will start at the end of the year. DI construction is going to be broken up into two different phases. From Cimarron and Jones, the construction starts in January, and from Jones to Valley View, it starts in March. So our goal is to kind of find a way to not have everything overlap with each other, and so it's going to be separated in different stages. There's also an event happening at Desert Breeze Aquatics on September 5th called Dog Days. It's at $10 per dog. Registrations are currently open and it closes on the 1st. It'll be from 7 a.m. to 10:30, depending on the size of the dog.
You get a discount if it's a small dog?
All right.
Thank you. Okay, let's start the planning and zoning session. Is there an applicant or representative for item one, which is the UC-260365? All right, let me read this into the record. Well, go ahead, Phil, get ready. It'll be a while for me to read this. So this is UC-26-0365 dash Church of, and I apologize for the pronunciation,
Deborah Merritt,
St. Michael Ethiopian
Orthodox,
what's the TC? I'll just say EOTC, Las Vegas, I apologize. It's for a use permit for a place of worship. It's asking for waivers of development standards for the following. One is to increase the retaining wall height, increase the building height, modify the residential adjacency standards, eliminate parking lot landscaping island, and reduce parking requirements. A design review for a place of worship on 1.59 acres in an RS-20 residential single family 20 zone, generally located south of Sahara Avenue, east of West Wind Road within Spring Valley. Sir.
Good evening. My name is John Grujic. I'm address 4750 Desert Plains Road, Las Vegas, Nevada. Tonight, I'm representing Church Deborah Merritt, St. Michael Orthodox Church, Las Vegas. So, Ethiopian Church, they have an existing church right there. This is their parking lot and this is building. Since church doesn't have basically what typically Ethiopian church has, doesn't have domes, and this is just commercial building. They converted probably in 2014 when they bought this building, they converted to the church, but they would like to build a traditional church right across. They bought, it's about 1 acre land, and so this is basically located. Sahara is right there, one block from intersection. West Wind and Sahara is right there. So, and the West Wind is between Jones and Decatur, so that you have idea roughly where it is. So, since this lot, it's naturally sloping from west to east. So that's the reason now why we have we have lots of filling. So since building is about 14,000 square feet, so but finished floor need to be flat. That's kind of, you know, one of these reasons why we need to ask for a waiver on this filling. Also, I want to point to like currently this south property, it's a zoning, it's residential. But I think they started the, this is dealership, same owner like on north side. They bought the property, they converting to commercial. I'm not sure did they already get approval or not. Probably not yet, but they are in process to convert. So only residential that we have is actually on the east side. These two properties, two or three properties on the east side. You can see this is residential, and this, everything else supposed to be commercial. So, so there is, I would say, main request is increasing the height of the church. So let me show you here how the church will look like. So this is in 3D how building's supposed to look like after we finish. So this main entrance would be from west. So basically from west wind. And so on south, and this is all built commercial, on this side we're going to have residential. So we are asking for 112 height of the church, where 25 feet is per type of tory. Basically they can build up to 25 feet. But since this doesn't meet the religion's requirement, what the church need, they're asking for approval for a waiver. So technically you can see this is just a main dome. It's actually becoming to be 112 feet. including cross. A cross is just about 10 foot. So in this smaller dome, they are about 64 feet. One side it's 60, another is 60, 64. So it's actually much less. So only main dome actually is, will be with the top of the cross, one floor. And also, I want to also point Serbian Church. They build it, if you know, right there on the Jones and Flamingo. They get waiver 10, 20 years ago. They already built similar church, but it is still under construction, but it's already built. It's already there, it's built 2000, I think 10, it's done, but they're still doing some interior work. So another waiver is about parking. So I talked down to Public Works. I want to show you here. So we have, let me see here, calculation. We have total parking space, but basically on the base of the square footage and occupancy, what you're going to use, we need 56 parking lots. So right on the side, we do have 29 provided already. But you can see right across, they have in planning, I talked to them, they're saying if we have in public work, if we have between 150 feet, we can use additional. And you can see this is about right here, that I can show you here what we have originally like that. You can see this circle showing that is additional. If you're counting just this between 150 feet, it should be enough parking. So, talk down to Antonio Parsons, and he's saying they will originally I prepared this, then they saying remove this across and remove this, just ask for waiver. We want to get waiver, but they saying after church is built, after 6 months they will do investigation and to see at that point if you need to, because the service will be just one time on Sunday about 10 till noon or so. Will be just one time a week, and they thinking we will not need a crosswalk, or they think they will support on the planning commission now. So, but that's the reason I'm asking for a waiver also on the parking, even it's between 150 feet, but we just need to, just in case, you know, that we have that waiver on that. So, height of the wall. So, on the back, what I said earlier, since we're filling this, on the back of this, you can see right there between the landscaping, about right here, we're going to have a grading plan. We have retaining wall right there. So, and also we have retaining on the back. So since what I said, it's sloping all the way 2% down. So in order to raise this and have a finished floor flat, and we need to have about 10 foot retaining wall there, and also about 8 foot or so retaining wall on this side. And that's, I'm asking for a waiver on the height of these walls in order to be able to build the church. And also they have some requirement, I think we're missing one landscaping finger. So since it's actually required 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, but here you can see we didn't have room to, we just skip one of these island in this area, so to be able to use for parking stuff. That's what I have.
Is that it? All right. Before I start, let me just ask you a follow-up question before I go to the public. Have you read the staff report?
Didn't have opportunity.
All right. Right, so I won't tell you until.
No, but they told me that there will be the staff recommendation will be denied.
So read the staff report. Let me go to the audience. Can I ask who's here to hear specifically this particular item?
Didn't come specifically for the item, but.
Okay, I'm just asking a question.
Like to talk on
I'm just
item.
Asking a question right now, okay? Just follow my flow if you wouldn't mind. All right, so of those that are here, who supports the project without hearing anything? Raise them high. Keep them high.
I can't take it to after.
Okay.
I can't take the poll to after you present the item.
Okay.
For the amount.
All right. And then I'm just curious who's opposed.
Because it can change after the...
Understand. Yes. Understand. Okay. So what I'm going to ask you to do, speak and just keep it as briefly as you can. You're opposed because, all right, don't give me a big, long,
Okay, sure.
Just, all right, so this is a public hearing, so it's not a conversation. This is where we're gonna take the information, speak through the board, if you wouldn't mind. Don't speak to anybody else, but speak to us. And then if there's any follow-up questions, we will redirect those questions to the presenter, and you listen to what's going on. So when I repeat the question, at least you know what context I'm gonna be asking the questions, okay? All right, so if you wouldn't mind for standing in line, if you're gonna speak either on behalf of or against, just stand in line and listen to the speaker in front of you. If they've said what you've said, if you wouldn't mind just saying ditto instead of repeating the question. So sir, if you wouldn't mind stating your name, address, and spell the last name for the record.
And limit 3 minutes.
Yeah, limit 3 minutes.
It won't be that. Robert Lutz, 5690 Edna Avenue, Las Vegas, 89146, and LUTZ on the last name.
Did you sign in, sir?
I didn't. We come
Please
in
sign and... in when you're done.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So, biggest thing is the parking. And anybody that's lived in our neighborhood that's seen their operation in their existing facility knows that when they do business, they have cars down the street, all the way down the street, around the corner. I'm looking at his okay. map, but down the street, around the corner, both sides of the street, they do special events, same thing. They totally take over the neighborhood with traffic. They're walking down the streets, adding a new facility with more people, with less parking, that's the biggest problem I have. The other thing is the extreme height of it isn't gonna fit into anything else in the neighborhood.
Okay,
that's
thank
all
you.
I have.
All right, thank you very much, appreciate it. Any other speakers? No more speakers?
Can I just add something?
No, you're out of order. Any other speakers? Please.
Yeah, my name is Yitbara Kairu.
Okay.
Yitbarek. Last name Kairu. Hailu.
Thank you.
Good evening, Chair and member of the board. My name is Yitbara Kairu, and I'm the chairperson of the Ethiopian Community Center in Las Vegas. I'm here to support the Reverend of St. Michael Ethiopian Orthodox Hawaiian Church. We understand that some neighbors may have concern about traffic, parking, noise, or the construction of the church. We respect those concerns, and we want to assure the neighborhood that our community wants us to be a good neighbor. We are willing to listen, communicate, and work with the county and the surrounding residents to address reasonable concerns. This church is very important to our Ethiopian families. It will provide a place for worship, community, education, and support for our children and families. We respectfully ask the board to support the church and allow the project to move forward. Thank you for listening and for giving our community the opportunity to be here. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Any other speakers? All right, I'm gonna go ahead and close the public hearing. So the questions I think you heard. So number one is the impact of the parking for events, not for worship, and the height of 112 feet, which is equivalent to 12 stories, 10 to 12 stories for that particular area. So if you wouldn't mind addressing those two points.
So point of what I said earlier only main dome is actually going to 112, and so it's top of the cross. And the point of this is just a religious thing. This is just traditional, how Ethiopian church is doing, and typically how Orthodox church is doing. If you see now Greek church down, Serbian Orthodox church, and that's, they won't like to have the same thing. Regarding, that's regarding height. That's only what I can say. Regarding the parking, a gentleman saying that we're increasing load. I'm not expecting any additional, because this is same church, what they already have, what they said, they already have church right here. This is their building. So now they don't have more people. They were just using this church just for the service, and this existing church will be just for multi-purpose room when they have some gathering regarding meetings and something like that. And or a Sunday school for educational purposes, for religious. So that's what I want to say about parking and height.
Okay, thank you. Any other closing comments before I bring it to the board for questions? All right, so I'll bring it back to the board, open up for any questions or comments from members of the board. Justine? I'll go that way and I'll work this way.
So if I'm understanding correctly, you guys are still going to be retaining the building that you already have. So my understanding then is that we'll have actually additional parking for the load, because there'll then be two parking lots, the one for the new structure and the one for the existing structure. Okay, so I think that kind of addresses a parking or even traffic flow, because there's going to be more parking rather than people maybe being lined up and down the streets. Community concern. Just the increase of the building height, it does concern me, just because it is such a large increase. Would the church still be able to move forward even if the waiver for the height wasn't approved? Would the church still be able to move forward with their plans for the building? For this construction? Is that something that they're willing to compromise on?
I think that is part of if they cannot build the dome what they need for their religious purposes, so they have existing church with no dome. And that's all purpose of new building and new site. It's to look like church.
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
Patrick.
Justine's take on this was very generous.
It's a beautiful church. It will be a contribution to.
It does look beautiful. I'll agree with you on that.
Remember, this is a hearing. We're taking input.
It's absolutely magnificent.
Yeah.
That's not a church. That's a basilica. There's zero reason for necessitating the height for any religious reason, particularly given the fact that Hamir Noah Kadane Moret Church, which I live adjacent to, has a 45-foot tall dome. This being at almost 11 stories is egregious, particularly considering that there's nothing within over a mile that even comes close to that height. So to say that it necessitates the height for religious reasons is a hard sell. I see no issue with the use permit for a house of worship, and even the retaining wall height, I don't think is an issue. But the waiver of development status for everything else is significant. And given the significant difficulty that the neighborhood with the Noah Kadane Moret Church had with parking, the parking spaces proposed don't even come close to being able to handle the amount of congregation that's going to happen there, considering that there's already issues that have been proposed in that neighborhood. To ask to cut it down, I just don't think is really feasible. It absolutely needs to be addressed, because we have precedent set already as to the challenges that have been undergone in other neighborhoods, particularly like this one.
Chris L.
I know that you said that the dome is meant, the 112 height is meant to be just for the main dome and the cross. What is the height for the rest of the building?
So I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you're saying.
So you said that the 112 feet height is
to
just
the
for
the
dome
cross.
And the cross, correct?
Exactly.
And then there's the rest of the building, which is lower. What is the height of the rest of the building?
So let me just read from the plan.
And Randy, I have another question.
About 40 feet.
40 feet.
Yes, the rest of the building. So main dome, basically to the top of the dome, 100 feet. To the top of the cross, 112, so 12 feet cross. So one dome right there to the top of the cross is 60, and this one is 64. So here it's about approximately like to like 35, 40 feet, most of the building. We can actually.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think I echo what the concerns that have already been shared about parking and just the height of that main dome. But I mean, it does look beautiful, but I am concerned about the traffic in that area. So that's all I have.
Patrick, you had a follow-up question?
Yeah, this is approximately 10,000 square feet.
Total would be 14,000.
14,000 square feet. And what is the existing square the square footage of the existing church building that they're using now across the street, roughly?
It's about 9,000 square feet existing building.
Okay, so they're claiming that for the same congregation they need
same congregation.
They need another 14,000 square feet.
So. Yes, because the reason why they have 14,000, because they have a second story for a Sunday school for kids, first floor has 9,000 square feet.
What are they using now for those needs? So you're saying that the Sunday schools and other education or whatever they're doing on that second level? How are they accomplishing that currently?
So right now, they existing in existing building, they have a room they're using, big room for using for the church. And they got smaller offices when they're using for Sunday school, for you know stuff like that. But the goal is to when they build this church, and the existing church will stay as is, just using for meetings, and then a new church that we're using for service and for Sunday school for children. And
so it's reasonable to presume that this is also an expansion of congregation at that point with these services as
they
well.
They're not expecting, because the Ethiopian community, they have multiple churches. This is just that they have, I think, how many churches Ethiopian people?
There are five major churches.
So currently, they don't have enough people to increase, even if they want.
They don't have enough people to increase?
I mean, I'm Serbian. I know we have on paper, we have 400 people on Sunday coming, 50 people, never more than 50 people.
There are 42,000 Ethiopian community members in the Las Vegas Valley and growing, which is why we have concerns about things like parking. This is why we welcome the community. It's fantastic.
I know you're concerned about parking, but regarding parking, it's already existing church, existing number of the people, so we're not contributing anything, we're not going to make anything worse. Only what we're adding actually an additional 36 parking, and we have already at the church, we have 129 parking already there at the existing church. We're adding additional 36 now. And so we're not cutting the parking, technically increasing for 36 at the place of the new church.
Understood. All right. That's all.
All right. I got a little more questions. So if you wouldn't mind showing your site map again.
Site plan?
Yeah, your site plan.
Okay.
So just for disclosure, I drove the property today. I went out there to look at the neighborhood and the property and see what's going on. So just south of the new of the project, just south of that is a single family home right there.
So right now it's a south, it's empty lot.
No, it's not.
It is.
Well, okay, let me reframe. Maybe we're talking two different things. So are you saying that with a project there's going to be an empty lot, then there's going to be the home? Because there's a home south of there right now.
So right now, it's a zoning for residential. But so this lot, it's bought by a dealership that's actually, right now, this is, I'm not sure who.
Lightspeed Holdings.
Yes.
Holds
they
that.
Actually bought this one, and they're in process of converting to commercial. They need, I guess they will need additional lot for dairy purposes.
Okay.
So this lot going to be commercial.
All right.
Only residential we have on these three lots at the east side.
All right. So if you could just entertain me just a little bit. So the church and the related parking lot's gonna be up here. Then there's gonna be empty space here. I see some nodding.
Yeah, that's correct.
And then below that is going to be a single family home that I know is there.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So I just want to get the bearings because I do want to address 112 foot height. It's imposing for that area. While I respect the elements of the church, the dome, etc., I'm just asking out loud, can you still have a dome and the spire and the cross with lower heights? And I bring that up only because I'm from a Christian church and they got mad at a 40 foot tower with a thing. And so it's relative is what I'm saying, all right? So if you're, so as you proceed, I would suggest that there's a, come up with a reason that is universal, because we had the same issue, not in this neighboring town, but another area where the Mormon church spoke about it. And from my perspective, that neighborhood didn't sit well with the church. Even though the project got approved, that church is still having problems with the neighborhood right now. All I'm suggesting is that if there's a way that you can create a design that's conducive, that's acceptable by your neighbors. I'm not gonna tell you what it should be, but a consideration of maybe having the same design elements, the dome, the church, everything, in terms of the grandeur that you're looking for, if it could be done at a lower scale.
Okay, so
if you wouldn't mind, because you spoke up in a public hearing, if you would just for the record, just explain who you are and sign in. This is just for the record.
All right, my name is Nepachu Yimer, last name Y-I-M-E-R, address 7981 Coronado Coast Street, Las Vegas, Nevada, the code 89139. I'm a member of the Brahmrat Saint Michael Ethiopian Church. And I'm also part of the building committee. Yeah, we can.
Oh, you can just sign in. You don't have to. I just wanted for the record that the both of you spoke. Yeah.
Okay.
And then, the presenter. I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
John.
Our presenter, John.
John. Yeah.
John. So, if you wouldn't mind repeating what.
So he's saying that I guess he's talked to priest and he's saying they probably, if can help, they can go reduce height like 15 feet, so top of cross to be less than 100 feet.
Yeah.
So 90, yeah. So top of the cross.
Yeah. Well, and that's fine. I think that's something for you to discuss with the building and the planning team. Whatever the vote might be, I would suggest that you go back to the planning because you'll have one more, because we're just advisory. So you're going to appear before either the planning or the county commission anyway.
PC,
so take the input that we're giving you as just that input, because you still have a long way to go in terms of the planning process. All right.
Yeah.
So just be aware what we say is advisory. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah. So that's all I'm saying is that for that particular area, which you all attend and you all see, there's like, you know, the most. I think your church is probably highest right now in that area. 30 feet is a three-story building. I'll just put that. Most telephone towers are 40 to 50 feet. Utility poles are 50 to 60 feet. The only thing that's tall are those huge electrical power lines that you guys are near, okay? I'm just putting things into perspective. And I think the concern about parking, I want you to understand what the issues are about parking that we're bringing up about. And that has nothing to do with the congregation. Showing up to church, showing up to church meetings, etc. What I'm talking about are the festivals that you do that are Ethiopian-wide or your Orthodox-wide, where you're going to have people come. The experience, I would suggest, if you have not talked to your brothers and sisters over at the church where Mr. Dennett lives, talk to them. It's been a chore, but they've gotten to where they needed to be with the neighborhood. I appreciate the committee wanting to work and, you know, cooperate. That's appreciative. But I think you need to understand what that entails. It's quieted down. It's taken about 3 or 4 years, but they've taken it down a little bit.
If I may add.
Oh, so go ahead.
I would highly suggest, if you know him, Girma Zaid, you should speak to him, because I have worked with Girma directly and that church to sort of help negotiate things with the neighborhood and in good faith get this wrangled a bit. And he's done an excellent job working with Metro, getting members of the congregation certified with traffic management. And they've gone to great extents to try and make that work with the local community. And it's working. We're seeing it work, much to the community's chagrin, because of course they don't want to see it succeed, because they want it to be in violation, but it's working very well, and it's mitigated a lot of the problems in that neighborhood. So I would highly suggest working with somebody like him to get some tips on how they have handled it, because they've done an excellent job.
And while, you know, it might not be prudent for me to say, but I would like to see this church successful in its project. And so with that, I'll just say that the staff recommended denial, other than the use permit being approved. So I think that's something that shows that the project probably needs more work and maybe a little more compromise with the staff standard Title 30, which is really what they're following. They're not following any whim of the neighborhood, but Title 30 was worked on for a number of years to come through that. So that's what I'll say. If there's any other questions or comments, did you have any final comments to the board hearing after what we've kind of shared?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'll ask for a motion.
I would make a multi-point motion on this.
Okay.
I would make a motion to approve the use permit for a house of worship.
Okay.
I would make a motion to approve waiver of development standard 1 for the retaining wall height. And I would make a motion to deny waiver of development standards 2 through 5 with prejudice.
So you can approve waiver of development number 1, and you're going to deny waiver and development 2 through 5?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I got that.
Okay, is that clear to the rest of the?
What about the design review, Patrick?
I'm sorry.
What about the design review?
Sorry, yeah. I would make a motion to deny the design review.
All right. Okay. So the motion before us is to approve the use permit, waiver number 1, deny waivers 2 through 5, and deny the design review. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, no opposed. All right, motion carries. So it ain't over, but please meet with the planning team and then
they want next week.
Okay, so you want to be like the Michael? Usually Michael gives a...
Sure.
All right. So,
you know, yeah. You meet with Mr. next week, which is already on the agenda. And then
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your presentation. All right, let's move to item two. Is there a presenter for item two, which is the Matt Ravers Family Trust et al. Is there, all right, let me read this into the record. And you can get up there if you want. It's UC-26-0391, Matt Ravers Family Trust. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing it. And Matt Ravers Peter TRS use permit to allow proposed avocational vocational training facility in conjunction with an existing commercial complex on a portion of 3.82 acres in a commercial professional zone generally located west of Jones Boulevard and north of Harmon Avenue within Spring Valley.
Yes.
All yours.
I got my script here.
I have your name for the record, please.
My name's Christina Penn, spelled P-E-N-N. My name of business is Penn Talent and Entertainment. We are located at 4455 South Jones Boulevard, Suite 3, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89103. We are a vocational acting and performance training academy operating from leased premises from an existing commercial building. I'm here today to request approval for a special use permit so that my business can operate in accordance with the Title 30 of Clark County Code.
Take your time.
No.
You're doing fine.
Like,
take your time.
It's easier when I'm on camera filming a scene.
Okay, pretend I got camera going.
Yeah, there you go. Lights. You gotta say action.
Action.
Penn Talent Entertainment provides professional instruction in acting, on-camera performance, and related disciplines is getting tools for each actor. Our typical hours of operations are Monday through Sunday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. It's not constant, but it's when classes are in session at the time throughout the week. The Academy is compatible with adjusting commercial and professional use alongside of Jones Boulevard. The instruction and conduct, entirely everything we do is indoors and produces minimal noises, traffic, or environmental impact to the surrounding areas. The Academy's hours are consistent with nearby restaurants, office, and other professional services. There is an adequate on-site parking for all business in the area, approximately 80 unreserved spaces for tenants and clients. The purpose use will no burden or impact the community. Okay. Where am I? Penn Talent's educational and cultural purpose supports the district intent to provide community service, professional and orientated uses. Its quiet, low intensity operations are keeping with the commercial and character of the area. I believe the approval of this permit would further the goal of comprehensive plan by encouraging small businesses development, promoting arts, education opportunities, and sustainably, using existing commercial spaces. The proposed acting academy will enhance the community by providing professional art education in a well-maintained facility with minimal impact. I would just like to thank everyone. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Is there any member of the public that would like to address the applicant or the presentation? All right, seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. Any questions or comments?
I know a great acting school on South Jones Boulevard that can help with that cold copy reading.
All right.
Don't be nervous. It's fine.
All right.
I do have a question for clarification. So did you say that you were already offering these services currently on
yes.
the property?
Yes.
So is there a reason for requesting the use permit now?
I was told, and I didn't know that it was required. I was just trying to bring the community together and acting, and they told me I needed that for where I'm located, and so I'm moving forward and doing the right passage and getting what I need.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. All right, I'll entertain a motion.
I would make a motion to approve.
All right, well, there's a motion on the floor to approve. All those in favor,
approve
please say aye.
Approve as per staff conditions.
All right, is there a motion to approve per staff conditions? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion carries. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, item three. All right, let me read this into the record. Did I point correctly? All right. You can get up there while I'm reading this through, or wherever you feel comfortable want to present. You want lessons from Ms. Penn? WS-26-0390, Barton, Bridget, and James. Waivers of development standards for the following. One is to eliminate and reduce setbacks, and two, reduce building separation for existing accessory structures in conjunction with an existing single-family residence on 0.49 acres in an RS-20 residential single-family 20 zone with a neighborhood protection and NPO overlay. Generally located west of West Wind Road and north of Edna Avenue within Spring Valley. All yours.
Okay, my name is Jim Barton. Last name Barton, B-A-R-T-O-N. First name Jim. I'm here on behalf of my wife too. She's saving lives at the hospital. She couldn't be here tonight. So, do you guys have pictures of anything? Did they provide pictures to you?
They have not, but some of us I know have gone. I went out, I drove the site.
Okay.
So, but depending on whether you're using Google Maps or whatever,
okay.
Christine or Justine?
Yes.
Okay, she's looking at an overview right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're all looking at the satellite overview.
Okay, hopefully you can see that. That's what was built.
Yep.
Now, if I could step back for a second, I had this built in ignorance. I didn't realize there was needed to be a building permit until a code enforcement came out and said, hey, you need a building permit. So we went to the building department, started that process, got a permit number and everything, and then they said, time out. We submitted all the plans, all the site plans and everything that they requested, and then they said, hey, you gotta go before this process. So here we are now. So what I'm asking for is a few setbacks on the way it's put onto that property on my driveway, my back driveway. So as you can see that one, do you have any questions? I don't know if I'm doing this right. Do you have any questions on that?
Well, why don't you go as far as you can, then we'll follow up with questions.
So here's one of the waivers where the tough shed currently sits. Okay, right now it's approximately a little over a foot here and about 3 to 4 feet here on this side. So we're asking for a waiver of the setback on this. Okay. Here's one more image of that. There's also, they made me put this in there, I don't know why, maybe it's from the aerial view. We have a couple structures that are simply what I call Lowe's, simple screw together structures. They're sitting, I guess, one was, I apologize for.
Oh, don't.
Okay, here's one of them on the backside. This is one of the sunshades that sits next to the house. It can simply be moved over. It's not bolted. None of these two, or these sheds aren't, sunshades aren't bolted. Here's one of the setbacks I'm asking a waiver for. This is an existing brick wall that is approximately a foot off of, as you can see the fifth wall here.
And that, from that perspective, sir, is that looking out into the street?
Yes, that's looking towards Edna.
Okay.
Through the fence.
Got it.
And here's a front view of the property, as you can see. So the waiver was for the tough shed, the setback on the wall, and I believe the two structures that I didn't even think would come into play that were existing by the house. that I now know, I didn't realize that I needed a permit for this. You know, there's a lot of precedent set in the neighborhood with a lot of these type of sheds that have been there for years. And when I talk to some neighbors and some people, they're like, oh, we didn't have a permit, we just put it up. Okay, well, obviously things change, I guess. So I'm trying to do my due diligence and get this thing approved so we can do it the right way.
If you're done, we can ask questions.
Yes, sir.
I think that's probably where we'll learn more
okay.
about the context of what's going on.
Okay.
But before I do that, I'm going to go to the public. Does anybody want to say anything?
Okay, so I'm going to be here with the same.
But you know the routine, right?
Yes.
All right, go.
Okay. Robert Lutz, 5690 Edna, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89146, LUTZ for the last one. So I'm going to be here shortly with the same situation. So we together at the, pretty much the same time put up sheds. A company called Bears Buildings comes out and one of the RV ports. Both of our RVs were getting beat up by the sun, just getting torn up. They're substantial investments. So Bears Buildings comes out. No, you don't need permits for this stuff. We sell them all the time. We put them up in Nevada all the time. You don't need permits for these structures. So we put them up. Several months later, somebody filed a complaint. We've been in the building department process, working through this. One of those things is to come to you. And obviously we're understanding that when building finally gets to the point of their recommendations, we'll have to bring it to whatever codes they are. But there are ways to bring these to code without the setback being the normal distances. Like you said, the precedence has been set in the neighborhood. They're everywhere. Ours at least aren't up against buildings. And up against our houses, there's two sheds against each other. They complement our cul-de-sac. You drive in, you said you drove it. It looks pretty good when you drive in.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't say that.
Well,
because
looks better than two RVs sitting out in the middle of the cul-de-sac.
Not you blocked it, but someone diligently puts out cones. I drove by when school was just about to let out.
Today?
Yeah.
You know why those cones are there?
Yeah.
Because they like our cul-de-sac. I can guess.
Yeah.
So. That's a war I'm taking up with the school district. But anyway, I am in very much a supportive way of doing. I'm going to be here with the same process.
Okay.
And like I said, whatever building tells us we need to do to bring them to code once the setback's approved, then we'll have to do that.
Okay. All right. Any other member of the public? Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing, bring it back to the board. Are there any questions from any member of the board?
Yes.
Oh, go on.
So in looking at the aerial view, are you two neighbors right
yes.
next to each other?
We're
okay,
next door.
So your two RV things are
our two RVs are by right,
door. Right. Okay.
So you're both at the end of the cul-de-sac. You're on the right
yes.
side.
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
on the left side. If you're looking at the sky view.
How long has the structures been up before code enforcement kind of came around?
I think it was approximately 3 to 4 months. That they were up.
That was all I had.
Okay.
Somebody filed a complaint.
Yeah, you're out of order. just being consistent.
A couple of questions.
Yeah.
Number one, he's coming back in a few weeks. Are you going to support him? Are you coming back with him?
Sure.
You're going to be a good neighbor about this. You want to support each other. You guys seem pretty intent on lighting your investments on fire. So we have these setbacks for a reason, and aesthetics notwithstanding, having these structures so close to each other is why they have these rules. One of the many reasons why they have setback rules, and it's for fire jumping. You know, you get a fire going in something, and it's going to jump from one structure to the next very easily, which is why they put those setbacks. So when you've got your property with 5 feet of setback, and his property with 5 feet of setback, now you've got 10 feet of setback with a wall in between. There's much less chance of fire jumping. Your entire cul-de-sac is a violation nightmare looking at an aerial view. All right, I'm just going to point that out. The fact that you got away that long with it is pretty good. But I just want you to understand what you're truly asking for with this. I know you want to protect that investment, and it makes complete sense. It's why we have RV garages. But there could be a larger issue that would come about because of this. God forbid, a battery sparked up a fire in one of those RVs. If that goes up on yours, he's losing his. And going to jump to that tough shed. That tough shed's going to jump to the next neighbor north of you, which has another tough shed right against that wall. And it's just going to spread all around. So just understand why the code enforcement looks at this kind of stuff that way, because it's a much larger issue when you start talking about everybody else's investment around you.
So if I could ask a question? Am I allowed to ask a question?
Not right now. Just wait. We'll come back to you. Ask the question. Yeah.
No problem.
Just in general, do you find the other neighbors, aside from your direct neighbor to the west, in support of this stuff?
Yes.
You guys are all collectively, I presume you're all like a tight cul-de-sac neighbor.
Yes, sir.
Group. And, you know. All right. That's all I have.
All right. Chriselle.
My question is to staff. It says in the staff report that the RV cover isn't compatible with the primary dwelling. Is that referring to the aesthetic or? Okay.
Architectural style.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. That's all I
had. Sorry, just to follow up. So, like color or material?
Vertical metal.
Okay.
Stucco type.
Gotcha.
All right. I want to ask it in a delicate way. Do you happen to know where the complaint came from?
I have no idea.
Okay.
We're not privileged to
that. No, you're not. I was just curious. So, and then when did your neighbors put up their items when they said they didn't have to put up any permits? Do you recall?
When they
shared with you that they didn't have
to. They didn't give me dates, if that's what you're asking.
Okay.
When they put up their structures.
Okay, because the new Title 30, I don't think this is related to the new Title 30. Josh, this would occur regardless, correct? Whether it was a new Title 30 or...
Regardless of
what? The violations or the...
Building. Oh, yeah, setbacks. Or...
Yeah, so your neighbors...
They existed previous to
Yeah, so your
Title
neighbors
30.
May not know that they're in violation.
Yet.
So you're probably...
This falls under the ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Yeah.
Are you referring to 56...
Yeah, because there's
the first
further.
One coming in.
Yeah, boom, there's more.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, there's more bar profits coming
first
down.
One,
yeah.
Yep.
So,
her
I want,
RV port's been up for 20 years.
Okay, so this is the general question I want to ask is that there are those neighborhoods where it's private road, the access is private, et cetera. You've got like, you know, three or four homes there. Is that under, and it's not really a HOA per se, but it's a pretty tight neighborhood, right? Would it be fair to say, and I think Patrick asked it in one way, would it be fair to say that the neighbors that live in the cul-de-sac would not have an issue with the way it's, you have everything?
That would be fair to say.
All right, would it be a problem or would it be easy for you guys to get each neighborhood to sign, or each neighbor to sign a letter supporting?
I don't see a problem with that.
All right, I'm not, leading you or anything. I'm just getting you ready for future meetings.
You want to make sure one of them ain't the snitch.
I didn't say that.
Top it right.
But so here's my general comments. If this neighborhood was, say, like on the west side, say, where there's more homes nearby, maybe that's an issue. But the fact that there's a huge parking lot to the east of you guys, the school is to the south, and I know that's an issue there. And to the north, I think there's only like one or two homes in that development or that different area, unless. While it might be disruptive in any other neighborhood, I don't see it disruptive in this particular cul-de-sac. That's where I land on that. So. Regardless, you know, this is a recommendation. We're an advisory board. You still have to get approval from the building permit. That's really where the bread and butter is. So with that, I'm open for but you did have a question. I'm sorry.
What was for Patrick? So in reality, this is not to, you know, skew things a little bit, but if you had two RVs sitting along that fence and they were married in that fence, they're still with no covers. There's still a possibility of jumping, right?
Absolutely, yes.
I mean,
but
so.
parking a vehicle, but I believe, and staff can correct me, when they view something like that, even though it is of itself a large structure, it's on wheels and it's mobile. They can get out of there.
Whereas
something bolted down is, right. they look at it differently.
And while you have a structure there, it may make, obviously the issue is now the structure, but even if there weren't a structure,
right.
You'd still have setback issues that you have to worry about when you lay the concrete.
Yeah.
So those are those issues. So hopefully that kind of, brings out to light what the thinking process is right now. So if we're done, I'll bring it back to the board. Is there any motion at this point?
I'd like to make a motion to approve per staff if approved conditions.
All right, motion is to approve and include if approved staff conditions.
Staff if approved conditions.
Yeah. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 All right, motion carries. So what that means is that at this level, we're saying we think it should go forward. It's approved, but bear in mind you got the planning commission or the BCC to weigh in, and that's where I would strongly recommend that you get your neighborhood to support what you guys are doing,
and to have them show up at the BCC meeting in support of you if you can do that. But certainly, letters of support are always helpful. Present that.
Right.
Best of luck.
Sorry for
Rod. No.
You did very well.
Thank you for your time.
I did the same thing as the girl.
Yeah, so Mr. Barton.
Except for when I'm not in front of the stand.
You aren't the only ones in this valley. So don't worry about that. But there are issues where they create a fire hazard and we just don't seem to approve it.
Yeah, I work a lot. I'm a service technician. I drive around and I see a lot of questionable things.
Yeah. All right, good luck to you both.
All right, thank you.
All right, moving on to item 4, right?
Item 4, yes.
Item 4. Is there a presenter for item 4? All right. Let me read this into the record. It's UC-26-0424, Garden Foundation, Inc., and Marcin Jan T., a use permit for restaurant and related facilities in conjunction with an existing training facility on 4.69 acres in a commercial professional zone generally located north of Windmill Lane and east of Gagne Boulevard within Spring Valley.
Well, hello everyone. My name is Taylor Cheney. I am the founder and CEO of the Garden Foundation. We are a nonprofit organization serving adults with disabilities. We're 8 years old. And we recently, in January, acquired a property, the Windmill property, which is, like you said, 4.69 acres. I'm also the founder and owner of Dig It Coffee Co. We are a mission, you're nodding your head like you might know it, a mission-oriented coffee shop where we employ adults with disabilities and provide training and mentorship through there. Dig It actually started as a vocational training program at the Garden Foundation. And since kind of grew, and 4 years ago, we actually opened our first brick and mortar shop downtown. So many of our clients that take classes at the Garden Foundation have the opportunity to train and then work and gain competitive employment opportunities through the coffee shop. The Windmill property actually had a existing coffee shop built. And so I'm going to show you some pictures here. So our goal, what we're really seeking, is to be able to open the cafe to the public. To be able to open the cafe to the public, which will just be able to enhance programming for our adults with disabilities and provide more employment and training opportunities. Okay, so here you can see Windmill. This is the main entrance to the property here. And then right here in this third building, this front portion right here is the cafe entrance. I'm going to show you another view here that kind of shows more of the parking. So you can see there's parking here around the exterior, parking here behind the structure of where the cafe is, and then there's parking all through here. There's 168 parking spaces. training opportunities for the adults that are taking classes there right now, and we use it as our cafeteria, a very nice cafeteria for our adults. I think the most important thing about what we do is our people, and so I just kind of wanted to share that. This is Allison. She's one of our baristas who's been working with us for 6 years. She's a Bengals fan, and she is an aunt to a nephew, and she happens to have Down syndrome. This is Taylor. She has cerebral palsy. She loves to get her nails done, and because of her job, she's able to pay for that herself, which is pretty awesome. I also have a couple letters of support here. So across the street from on Windmill, there's a Good Samaritan Church. This is kind of small, I apologize. But essentially they have done a tour, they've come over, we've met our neighbors. They utilize our parking for events that they have, and we've been neighborly in that way. They enthusiastically support the opening of Digit. They plan to utilize that and kind of share with the people. They also have a school there across the street, and they were excited to be able to utilize the cafe when we open. And I also have a letter of support from the Crossing Church, which is right down the way on Windmill as well. We've been very neighborly with them. They've come for a tour. We've been able to meet with them, and they are also in support and encourage the approval of this proposal. But we are just seeking the use permit to be able to open to the public, which we hope will enhance the neighborhood, community inclusion, and obviously the opportunities for our adults. That's all I have.
All right. Bring it out to the members of the public. Any comments? Seeing none, bring it back. Members of the board.
I just want to say I did drive by this last week because I do live in the area and going home from the library, and I think it's really awesome. I do wonder, because you've mentioned like you've gotten letters of support from the churches. Have any of the neighbors said anything either way?
No one has said anything either way.
Okay.
I don't plan for there to be any noise. Our plan is to open. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I was just not even.
Oh, but am I allowed to talk right now? Okay.
Yeah, she's asking you questions.
Got it. Okay, thank you. So our plan is to open with limited hours on the weekends to start. But obviously, coffee shop hours must be 8 to 2, 8 to 3. So something that shouldn't impact the neighborhood in a negative way.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. I mean, I'm sure it'll also be nice for the neighbors to have a coffee shop to walk to.
Yes.
Great cause. Fantastic. This clears up a lot of confusion from last meeting where we had the cafe stuff mixed in too.
Yes. In the proposal. Public Works kind of mixed up some of the
oh, boy, did they.
Letters, and we apologize for that, so thank you.
Not your fault.
Okay.
No, I think this is great.
All right. Justine?
Oh, I love this.
Right.
When do you open? I
want to
come. I love coffee.
So, full disclosure, I'm a member of the Good Samaritan Lutheran Church.
Oh, amazing. Okay.
I was always wondering when it was going to. And this board also had a couple of extensions of that same property. So, but anyway, I don't have any questions or comments. I'm open for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve with staff conditions.
All right, motion approved with staff conditions. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Good luck. Okay, this one's going to be a mouthful here. Items 4, 5, and 6.
And
5, 6, 7.
My
grandson. All right.
My son told me to fuck over. Right. So
mom. Okay. Let me read this into the record. So items 5 is a ZC-26-0427 Selco Land Holdings LLC. It's a zone change to reclassify 1.91 acres from a CG commercial general zone to an IP industrial park zone, generally located west of Tenaya Way, north of Sunset Road within Spring Valley. Item 6 is VS-26-0428 Selco Land Holdings LLC, is a vacate and abandon easements of interest to Clark County located between Sunset Road and Post Road alignment and Tenaya Way and Pioneer Way within Spring Valley. And item seven, which is WS-26-429-Selco Land Properties Holdings LLC. It's amended waivers of development standards for the following: increase the retaining wall height and alternative driveway geometrics, design review for a proposed office warehouse building on 1.91 acres in an IP industrial park zone, previously notified as a CG commercial general zone within the airport environments overlay. All yours.
Good evening, Chair and members of the town board. Brooke Holmes with Brownstein, appearing on behalf of the applicant and owner, SunTen Holdings LLC, in connection with the applications before you tonight. The property is located on the north side of West Sunset Road and the west side of South Tenaya Way. This project is for an office warehouse, approximately 37,402 square feet. Of that, approximately 2,000 square feet of that is mezzanine space. This site was previously approved for a dog training facility, and this project will replace that previous approvals. As you'll see here, this is the project. We have the warehouse. The parking is located to the west side as well as the north side, away from the right of ways. This project is, in my opinion, only asking for two waiver of development standards, which is incredible. We're asking to reduce the approach distance on Sunset, given the location of the driveway, in order to provide the required width of the driveways. We have to reduce it to 180 feet where 190 feet is otherwise required. And we're asking to waive the retaining walls such that we'll be able to increase it to 4 feet. So currently, I don't have the cross-sections handy, but our cross-sections, we're only asking for retaining walls around 3.5 feet. The reason we're asking for 4 feet is just given cross-section, grading, all of that, it might deviate, and so we're sort of giving us some wiggle room when we go through building and public works and drainage studies and all of that. Access is provided off Sunset Road and Tenaya. Again, we're providing all the required widths, driveway widths. We're providing all of the required throat depths. This will be a gated facility. We meet all of the setbacks for the gates. We're providing 38 spaces where 37 spaces are required. We're providing all the required finger islands. Again, it's located on the exterior behind the building. We're also providing an 8-foot landscaping strip. We will be providing desert-friendly landscaping. That's in compliance with the Southern Nevada Planning Coalition Regional Plan List. We're also providing what's required on the detached sidewalks along Sunset Road and West Tenaya. We meet all required setbacks. We're within the height limit of 45 feet where 50 feet is otherwise permitted. We are providing various articulation, as you'll see from the proposed building, which includes decorative reveals, color variation, and other aspects of the project. All mechanical equipment would be screened by the parapet. We've met all sustainability requirements and actually exceeded them. In conjunction with this application, as you know, we're asking for a zone change. And that's to rezone this property from CG, Commercial General, to IP Industrial Park, which is consistent and compatible with the surrounding development, which a majority of it is already slated for IP. Additionally, we're asking to vacate and abandon some pedestrian access easements. These easements were dedicated in conjunction with the prior development project, so we need to vacate and abandon them, and then we'll rededicate those in conjunction with our project. Staff is recommending approval, and with that, I would be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Okay. Well, going to the public, there's really no one there, so bring it back to the board. Any questions or comments?
Yeah,
I have a question. Could you put the site plan back up, please?
Of course.
For the driveway that is off of Tenaya, is that, because I know there's an island right there, is that, I'm just seeing like two directions. So are people going to be able to turn left from?
Nope. So okay. There's an existing median.
Yes.
So it'll be right in, right out only.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I apologize.
So we're not modifying the existing median framework there. Again, people traveling down Tenaya would be going right in, and then people coming out would be right out as well.
Do we happen to know what the use of this is going to be? Is it
just
an office
warehouse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
If it's just an office warehouse, why the jump to IP?
Oh, because CG doesn't permit office warehouse, so IP otherwise permits the use. There's other reasons too. So we are asking for outdoor storage. Outdoor storage in a CG zoning is only allowed in conjunction with the motor speedway. The use is all compatible with the surrounding area. We've already met with the commissioner on the rezoning, and there haven't been any issues or concerns.
Okay, that makes more sense. All right.
Okay, open to an amendment, or not amendment, I'm sorry, a motion.
I would make a motion to approve as per staff conditions.
All right, motion to approve per staff conditions. All those, I'm sorry?
Item 5.
Item 5, yeah. My bad, item 5. Thank you for keeping me on track, Justine. Item 5, motion to approve per staff conditions. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
That was you, Patrick, right?
Yes.
Item 6, it is to vacate and abandon. Is there a motion?
We have a motion to approve per staff conditions.
Okay, there's a motion to approve per staff conditions. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion carries. And item 7.
Make a motion to approve per staff conditions.
Okay, motion to approve per staff conditions. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. All right, let's move on to general business. As we called last week, we get to put in budget items, or budget requests.
Yes.
Go ahead.
We are looking to seek input from TAB members and the public regarding budget requests, basically the wish list for the next year. This could be anything regarding parks to public works projects, fire stations, new furniture for Breeze. I'm just here to take notes because the next item will be to finalize the agenda item, the requests. I will take it to each. Me and Mike, I guess, we'll take it to each department with your recommendations. And we can start sharing ideas here today. Obviously, you can still do it in the next meeting as well.
So that's what I was going to ask, is when the deadline is for this.
The next meeting will be when the board will vote to approve the wish list.
Great.
Yes.
I actually have something.
Go for it.
All right.
I would like to request adding delineators and the associated paint color to create a protected bike lane and or shared bus and bike lane from on Fort Apache from Blue Diamond to Mall by Feist Middle School.
Fort Apache to what?
It's on Fort Apache, so from Blue Diamond to Mall. But or at the very minimum from Blue Diamond to Warm Springs for safety reasons.
Is that what
I live right off of?
Is that within Spring Valley?
It's fine.
Okay. All right.
I did ask Mike about that.
He says, okay,
go for it. He said it's in Justin Jones' district.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be in Commissioner Jones' district. It could just be the Southwest too, or all of Clark County. Because I will take these recommendations and go to Public Works or any other agency.
Give it a budget weighted enterprise.
And
well, I live right across the street, which is right on the border
right.
of Spring Valley.
Right.
I also wanted to add too, because with the bike park being built,
yes.
it would make sense that the bike lanes right there are protected.
Because right now, there are separated. However, they're not dedicated.
They're not protected, and cars use that as an extra lane. And as someone who walks my dog on Fort Apache all the time, and kids take the sidewalk because obviously they are not trying to get hit by cars.
Right.
I would really like for them to be on the bike lane and not on the sidewalk.
Makes sense. Okay.
So.
Okay. Anything else?
I have nothing.
But you can also request for more staff, like a pro officers, code enforcement officers. It's kind of like a, you tell us what you are seeing.
Well,
a gap.
Thank you for clarifying that because I was a little confused at the last meeting. So
it's a clarifying wish list.
I'll definitely probably have some for
you.
You can send me emails and then I forward it on to my.
Yeah,
awesome.
You can also say
awesome.
More trees. I'm
yes,
in
more
certain
trees.
Parks.
Please shade trees.
Trails.
We're getting a lot of trees, but no shade.
5K trails, like you it's really open.
Oh man. What if we could squeeze in another data center?
Oh my gosh.
No. JOKE for the record. How about chairs for the town advisor and lots for the chairs? So they'll get
chair.
Take
chairs for the Spring Valley Town Board.
Yes.
Yep.
And
nice
lots
chairs.
To secure the chairs.
Yep.
Or even if they have to go to Michael's office every day.
Oh, we do have him letting those chairs. We'd get a lock.
We'll
get a tough box and put it up on
the
business
technically our room. The conditions room, so we are able to use the break room. We give it to them for desert breaks, but we can have a dedicated.
You can have a space for
yeah.
office.
Yes.
All right, if we have any more ideas, please pass them along to Carmen via email.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I'll give them these two recommendations
yes,
as well.
Thank you.
That was good.
I literally dream about it.
That makes sense.
Well, you know, come to think of it, to the extent that we can provide, okay, this might be a Cadillac version, but, and I'm thinking of the hot summer months, and I care about the bus riders.
Oh, yes.
To provide some kind of a shaded waiting area, and then maybe a mist coming out. That might be over the top. I don't know if that's going to be approved. But, you know, more shaded bus stops.
Yeah,
in Spring Valley area, you have certain streets.
Certainly along Peaceway, now that the bridge is there.
Peaceway?
Yeah, Peaceway Bridge.
Shaded bus areas.
Yeah, because I see them on Flamingo, but I don't see them on Peaceway, although that's not a major thoroughfare. But
RTC has committed to expanding shaded bus stops across Clark County. We can meet with them to recommend that they focus on Peaceway for our district.
Yeah, because this is a challenge in the summer, right? You want the ridership, but it is so hot. I don't know if they can.
And just point of information, we're also adding shaded bus stops along Spring Mountain Road.
Okay.
They'll be designed for Chinatown, so they're going to be like custom made.
That's
nice.
Nice. So, yeah, they can do that. They can give a little shade to other bus stops
for sure. And you know, if it's possible, we're off topic.
No, it's a wish list.
Well, so I would like to see an update to the Spring Mountain redevelopment project.
Oh, yeah, that's
me.
Nice.
Okay. So when you get a chance, come by where you're not. Cherry.
I'll be here. Yes. Okay. That works.
Okay, because I think we'll be approving some stuff, right?
Yes.
Maybe not in the near future, but.
No, that was a requirement of our the consultant we hired, and. So.
Okay. Oh well, thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
All right. If there's no further input, I propose we adjourn. And it's 7:25?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. All those, be safe.
Go for